This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
We resume this afternoon our discussion regarding Ashab al-Sabt. The people who, as Allah said, إِذْ يَعْدُونَ فِي السَّبْتِ, those who were by the shoreline, حَاضِرَةَ الْبَحْرِ, إِذْ يَعْدُونَ فِي السَّبْتِ, who violated on that famous Saturday, meaning by fishing on the day that work was not allowed and was to be entirely dedicated to worship. And Allah Azza wa Jal explained why. He said, إِذْ تَأْتِيهِمْ حِيتَانُهُمْ يَوْمَ سَبْتِهِمْ شُرَّعًا, because their fish would come to them on that day of worship of theirs, their Saturday, visibly. They're jumping out the water, shurra'an. And on the Saturday, on the days that they do not fish, on any other day, la ta'tihim, they don't come. There's not a single fish in the water. ذَلِكَ نَبْلُوهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ, with that difficult test we tried them due to their rebellion. Firstly, there is something very evident in this story, a parallel that applies perfectly to our lives as Muslims today as well, which is the fact that out of Allah's mercy, it is very evident that the sphere of what you're allowed to do, the halal, is always wider than the sphere of what you're not allowed to do, the haram. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, for instance, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا, He's the one who created for you. It's for you. At your disposal, everything on earth. So that is the norm. The default is halal until proven haram. Can I walk? Yes, I can. Can I run? Yes, I can. Can I jog? Can I sit? Can I climb? Can I laugh? Can I work? Can I... Everything's halal. Unless something arises to say it's haram. Even with regards to marriage, you can marry any woman you want, with the exception of حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ وَبَنَاتُكُمْ, can't marry your mom, can't marry your sister. There's a list. It's a finite, limited list. As for the halal, it's almost unlimited. Likewise with what you can eat. Allah Azza wa Jal said, قُلْ, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا أجدُ, I do not find anything else, فيما أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ, in all that's been revealed to me, مُحَرَّمًا, حَرَام, عَلَى طَاعِمٍ يَطَعَمُهُ, for a person to eat, except dead meat that wasn't slaughtered properly, or something that is flowing blood, to actually drink blood, أو لَحْمَ خِنْزِير, or pork. That's it. There's a limited list. Everything else, halal. Making money. You can buy, you can sell, you can profit off of your effort as well. You don't have to own. You can get into sharecropping, split and rotate. You can partnerships, you whatever you want, right? Unless there's riba, there's some interest involved, or there's some deceit involved, or there's some like gambling involved. Very limited list. The default is that the sphere of haram is much tighter than the sphere of halal. However, here now bringing it back to the story. Sometimes in people's lived experiences with certain people or with certain places, certain times, practically speaking, the halal becomes very difficult to find. And the haram becomes very easy to access. That is what happened to Banu Israel, even in the story, that you still have 6 days it's halal to work and only one day it's haram to work. But what happened was, the only day I'm not allowed to work was the only day I could practically be working. It would be extremely hard to live off of what I catch in the sea. I'm gonna have to figure out a very, you know, complicated alternative. And likewise with us today, theoretically there is much more halal, but the haram could feel like it's so much more accessible in our day and age. Yeah, and you bring it back to marriage. I have a desire. I want to get married. Practically speaking, it seems like the path to marriage is extra complicated these days. Or even finding that gratification within marriage seems very complicated these days. As opposed to finding it through a haram route, it's literally in my pocket. I can just pull it out. right there, so accessible. Even though in theory the halal is so much more. With business, there's so many ways I can make money. But it just seems like the way that costs me my relationship with Allah, the riba route, the deceit route, is just so much easier. Just once again, I can pull this out and just start gambling. I can start borrowing. And for sure, when things do get tighter from Allah's Sharia, especially for this ummah, there's a built-in flexibility. But it's not a free ride. It's not a free-for-all. At the end of the day, there's going to be constraints. Those constraints sometimes get increased on certain people. And so when all of that happens, you stare back at the story of the Sabbath and you say, wait a minute, why is this happening? The halal is bigger than the haram. Why is this getting so complicated? It should give you pause so that you can actually notice what is taking place. Because if you refuse to notice, you're going to continue on in the haram. And then when you do so, like for them, it will gradually get easier to do the haram. And then you will get comfortable with the haram, and then you will be on the brink of destruction. And Allah said this in the Quran, subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Once they forgot all that we reminded them of, all the wake-up calls, they were consistently dismissed. He didn't say we punished them right away. He said we opened up for them the gates to all things. And then when they got distracted by the glitter of all things, we opened up for them. We gave them access. So the believer should notice that when he has increased, facilitated, open access to more and more haram, this is his final chance sometimes to come back to Allah, needs him now more than ever. This is the edge of the cliff. This is what the believer needs to notice, and this is what Banu Israel in that story didn't notice. The believer understands that your rizq, your provisions, and your righteousness are inseparable. You can't separate them. It's impossible. I don't mean that if you are a righteous person, you're going to become filthy rich. That's not what's meant. Or else every righteous person would have been rich. What's meant is that if you are righteous, Allah will send you rizq that will not consume you to the point that you forget your righteousness. And you slowly get comatose away from the path of piety and the road of righteousness. This is the secret. You know, as the hadith we mentioned last week, أَمْلَأْ قَلْبَكَ غِنًا أَوْ صَدْرَكَ غِنًا. I will fill your chest with riches if you dedicate yourself to me, if you prioritize me. This is blessed rizq. You know, it varies from person to person, but what does it mean to have blessed rizq? The one ayah says, when they forgot, we open the floodgates for them. Here, take some more. The other ayah in the surah before it says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ. If the people of the towns would have just believed, been faithful, and been pious, we would have opened up for them, not everything, barakatin, the blessings of the heavens and the earth. What is the blessings? The blessings is the rizq that doesn't keep you from Allah. It's not so little that it will worry you night and day, it'll distract you, and it's not so much that it will trigger your greed for more. And that varies from person to person. What is blessed for me? Only your righteousness can determine that for your rizq, can make your rizq blessed in that correct understanding of blessed. Otherwise, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَوْ أَنَّ لِبْنِ آدَمَ وَادِيًا مِّنْ ذَهَبٍ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ وَادِيًا. If the son of Adam were given a valley, the span between two mountains, a valley of gold, he will wish he had two valleys. وَلَا يَمْلَأُ فَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابِ. And when you're that kind of person, nothing will fill your mouth. You're always going to want to consume more. You're going to have an insatiable greed. Nothing will fill your mouth except the dust. In other words, you'll never feel like I've had enough. Until you're in your grave and the dust gets poured on, then you're going to say, enough, enough. وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ تَابُ. The hadith continues to say, nothing will fill his mouth but dust, and Allah opens the door for forgiveness for whoever seeks it. Whoever seeks it while they're still alive. And so, blessed rizq is just enough rizq to not compromise your righteousness. And you focusing on righteousness is what ensures that the rizq that comes your way is blessed. They're inseparable. And that is actually exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to ask for. He used to say, Allahumma ij'al rizqa ali Muhammadin quta. O Allah, make the rizq of the family of Muhammad quta. Quta means that which is enough. It varies from person to person. The only way to make sure yours is blessed and enough, just right, not too little that I can't think about anything else, not too much that I can't think about anything but it, Allah will grant you that in proportion to your relationship with Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. And so the believer notices that haram being facilitated is a dangerous sign, and they rush back to Allah faster than ever. They rush back from the edge of the cliff now before never. The Israelites, returning to our story, did not notice this. However, here is another lesson. When they did not notice this, did they say, God must be making it halal for us because it's so available, therefore we can ignore the rule? Were they that blatant? Were they that openly rebelling against Allah? No. It happened very slowly. Saturday is our work day. We're not allowed to fish on Saturday. And so we're not going to fish on Saturday. They didn't fish on Saturday. After a while, some of them, due to their weakness in righteousness, their resolve, their ability to restrain themselves started crumbling. And one of them started saying, I will defy Allah. No, that's not what he said. He said, I have an idea. I'm not allowed to fish on Saturday, so I'll put the net in on Friday and I'll remove the net on Sunday. So technically, I didn't fish on Saturday. And so he thought of this loophole. And then he caught his fish, and he's eating his fish. The rest of the people, it didn't happen overnight either. They sort of are smelling fish cooking in the town. And we haven't had meat in a really long time. It could have been weeks, could have been months. Allah knows best, right? They haven't had this meat that they love and they're used to. And so they follow the scent, and they find this man with fish. And so they say, what in the world did you do? How could you do this? He said, I didn't do anything wrong. Trust me, no big deal. I didn't fish on Saturday, I swear. I put it in on Friday and I took it out on Sunday. I didn't break the rule. And so some of them started saying, yeah, maybe that's all right. The temptation caused them to justify and give in. And so then the debate started. Maybe it's okay, maybe it's not okay. Stop being a literalist, the letter of the law, you know. All of that, right? And this is a huge lesson. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam made it very clear to us that in this ummah are people that will play games with the boundaries using loopholes. Drinking wine, for example, pretty crystal clear, right? That it's haram. And it's of the greatest blessings of this ummah that it will never drown in alcoholism. And one of the most, you know, beautiful things to look at, you go on the World Health Organization's map of alcohol consumption, and it's the Muslim majority countries that have the least consumption. But among them are individuals who do exactly like he said they would do 1400 years ago. He said, among my ummah are those, yashrabun al-khamr, that will drink wine, yusammunaha bighayr ismiha, by giving it another drink. Spirit drinks, right? How much exactly is the percentage? And they begin to look for these loopholes for the clear haram. And you may find, once again, it's a slippery slope that happens slowly. You may find a scholar to tell you that this amount is trivial and insignificant. Actually, most scholars will say that. But then you will use that to get some wiggle room. That wiggle room is there by design. Allah left it there to test the sincerity of your heart. You will use that now to continue on until you're doing things that no scholar ever said was tolerable, ever said was permissible. This is how it happens. Interest is haram. Case closed. You don't use interest-bearing transactions unless your back is absolutely to the wall. But we can find a scholar that say necessity. Okay, they said necessity for you or for him, not you. And then so that you can find a place to live in and don't get kicked out by your landlord. Did they say you can run your business on it as well? When there are so many non-necessity scenarios, you have so many options to invest. You don't have the, this is the way it works every single time. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, la'ana Allahu al-muhallila wal-muhallalu muhallala lahu. And Allah has sent his curse upon the muhallil, the one who makes halal, and the one for whom it was made halal, referring to his divorced wife. You see, if you divorce your wife beyond recourse, you can never remarry her. Unless it just so happens, this is what the Quran said, it just so happens, حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرًا, that she gets into a marriage with another man, a real marriage. Then he happens to divorce her or he dies. Then you want to circle back and marry her, fine, right? People took this as sort of a craft. Say, okay, you know what I'm going to do? For the right price, I'll marry the woman you divorced, and then I'll divorce her in 2 days so that you can marry her again. The Prophet cursed this. Why? Because it would be real. Al-muhallil, they call it halala, right, in some cultures. This is cursed, not just forbidden. This action of loopholing. Or maybe the last example I will share with you is that of inheritance. So many creative ways people think, they've only deceived themselves to think they can deceive Allah Azza wa Jal with these practices. So I don't want any of my daughters to inherit my wealth. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to forge a document or write a document that says my son has always owned this property, therefore it is not part of my estate. When I die, it doesn't get redistributed. So you bar the girls or the rest of the guys or whoever it's going to be from inheriting. This is actually very common. I have friends in parts of the Muslim world that talk to me about this. Or you're not allowed to give your son or your daughter more than what the Sharia had already portioned for them. And so you say, I'm going to give this extra amount to my grandchild. So that in reality, their parent gets it. And so you've given more, you've circumvented, you've loopholed around it. The examples are endless. And the games of shaitan are countless. And this is why the story of the people of the Sabbath squares us straight away. He looks at us in the eye, if you will, and says, feel free. Allah could have made it clearer, but he's not trying to win an argument. He's trying to test your sincerity. He's trying to evaluate your righteousness. And so they fell into this debate. And the debate escalated, as we will hear in the future verses, on can we technically do this or not? This loophole of fishing on the Saturday, laying the nets out on Saturday and picking them up with all the fish on the Sunday. May Allah Azza wa Jal teach us from His great book and forgive us for our sins and increase us in light, in the light of our hearts and the guidance of our spirits. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us doors of halal rizq always and forever, and never allow us to be concerned about our rizq in a way that compromises our righteousness. Allahumma ameen.